Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
I'm Bill Shanks with Russell Brown. We are live on location today. Dawson's Kitchen here. Man, food on the menu today. Are you hungry at 3 o'clock? I had lunch at 11 o'clock, so that's 5 hours, right? I'm hungry. Not to mention the fact that I walked into Russell's dinner. And what did you have, sir?
Let's see. I had fried chicken with collards and fish casserole.
Good Lord, have mercy on my soul.
They've got today baked chicken, fried pork chops.
Right now.
So, wait, hold on now. All right, she's cooking me a fried pork chop, and of course it had to be when I'm on the air. She walked away from me. I don't think she liked my tone. She just walked away. Did you see her walk away?
I did.
I don't think I like her tone now.
Well, no, I love her tone. Have you tasted that food?
I asked her, I said, when, this is what I asked her. I said, we're on the air now. Look at them things. I said, when you bring them pork chops out of the grease, will you bring me one? And, I think it's coming. Russ, you ready to do the first segment?
Yeah.
You need my notes?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. Right out of the grease, Katie barred the door.
Oh, here it comes. Look at there.
A fried pork chop.
It is your lucky day, sir.
Oh, my gosh.
Heaven. Right there.
Look here.
Look at that. Heaven on earth.
Oh, my. And you know what?
There it is.
There ain't even any grease on that thing. What do you do to get the grease out of that? Golly.
She said she could tell you, but she'd have to kill you.
It's burning up. Oh, my God. That is so good. Right out. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Great timing. Well, yeah. They got fried pork chops. They've got beet tips on rice. They got fried chicken. They've got baked chicken, Russ. Me and you probably should have done the baked chicken.
Yeah, it's a little late for that. I can't do baked chicken. It's just a disappointment. It's a tease. You got to have it fried.
I know. No, it's true. It is kind of disappointing. Should I try this right now? Oh my gosh, it's hot. That's what I wanted though, right? I wanted hot. Look at that pork chop, Russ. Look how good that pork chop looks.
Oh my gosh, that looks unbelievable.
I mean, that is fried pork chop right there. Perfectly fried pork chop. They've got collards, cabbage, squash casserole, mac and cheese, green beans, candied yams, dressing, and rice. With, again, baked chicken, fried pork chop, beef tip on rice. All right, I'm going to try this. You ready? This is a fried pork chop. Oh, my gosh. And I hate to do this. I'm almost feeling like I may need to have a little silverware because...
Why? Just see, dude, you wash your hands, right?
Yeah, I did it Saturday. Yeah, of course I did. No, I did. Golly, it's just a big pork chop. Okay. Okay. She wins. That's so good. That is so, so good. So in between talking, I'll be eating it on my pork chop. Great food every day. Dawson's Kitchen. If you've never been to Dawson's Kitchen, it's in the Payne City area. And it's right in the middle of Macon. If you're ever in Macon, if you're not in Macon now, if you're ever in Macon, right around any of our great restaurants, but Dawson's Kitchen's right in the middle of town. They've got great vegetables, great meats every day. And, she's such a good cook. She does such a great job. And we invite you to come by, and they've got great desserts as well. They've got cakes and pies, and again, great meats and vegetables every single day. Comfort food right here. Mm-hmm. Great food. All right, we got one guest on the rundown today, Jake Roos, UGASports.com. We'll talk Georgia football recruiting. We do that segment for us because it makes his blood pressure go sky high.
Oh, it's so huge. I mean, you guys are going to lock up another February title. I can feel it.
We are, and we're going to whip your teams. Oh, look at the smoke coming from that.
You won't play my team.
Georgia Tech?
No, not that team. That's not my team.
Well, it's not my fault they're afraid to play Georgia Southern anymore. I'd put him on the schedule tomorrow, but we got to strengthen our schedule, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
That's
it's
right.
True.
Yeah. We don't want to do that with any team in the state that might upset the apple cart. So, and we, you know, we already have one gimme when we're playing Georgia Tech. So, no, we're going to talk recruiting. Georgia got a big offensive lineman today. And Sam Pittman went crazy on Twitter, went got a little excited, which is good. So we'll do that, and we're going to talk a lot of Braves baseball, of course, because that we said on Friday, now watch them win three in a row and calm us down. Didn't we say that?
Yep.
And look at there, what they do.
This team's going to drive us nuts.
500 team, what have I always said? Go back to what I say, they will drive you absolutely crazy. One series, 1 week will be great. The next one will be awful. And then the next one will be back to good again. So, yeah, it's kind of what we're going to have to put up with, I think, this year. I want to talk, though, first and foremost, NBA basketball. Don't change the channel because I'm talking NBA basketball first. Because tomorrow night at 8:30, your life is going to change. We are going to be Zioned out tomorrow night at 8:30. I'm feeling it, Russ. It's coming. We're going to have a big, nasty Duke Blue Devil save the fortunes of the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow night at 8:30. And if Travis Schlenk trades him for a pick for next year,
that's not going to happen.
We're going to shoot him.
That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
There's not a man walking the planet that'll do that. Don't worry.
I'm feeling good about it. I'm telling you.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying not to think about it. I was reading some stuff today, and the most likely odds, I guess, for the Hawks would be to have the 7th and the 9th pick. So I'm trying to look at it that way. But, man, when I let my mind wander of if the Hawks logo comes out of the first envelope and they've got the number one overall pick, I mean, it changes everything. It changes the course of the franchise. It changes what we're going to be talking about at different points of the year, because the Hawks will instantly, in an instant, become one of the most relevant topics in sports talk in this state, if not the country. Because, I mean, to me, some might say Anthony Davis, and I think that's fair, but to me, this is the best guy since LeBron James to be in the draft.
Davis is the one that you can say, but going in, there was nothing like that.
Not like this.
Nothing like Zion, and to have the social media build up to what Zion has become. Look at how he changed college basketball. Look at how many people really paid attention. The ratings were up, I believe, this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The interest was up. And these are for one-and-done kids who they know are going to be gone for a while. But I can't wait. I really can't wait. I am so excited. And I just – look, somebody's going to get lucky tomorrow night. Somebody is going to get lucky tomorrow night and win – Zion Williamson. I have no idea who that's going to be. The Atlanta Hawks have a 10.5% chance of it being them, and it's not much less than the four teams ahead of them, and it's not much more than the teams that are behind them. And therefore, again, somebody's going to get lucky tomorrow night. This is bottom line of what it is. It's going to be a luck. There's no favorite. There's no, oh, boy, they're going to get him, or they're banking on getting him. It's going to be luck. It's like if you've ever been to a casino and you need luck on your side, whether it's playing the roulette table or slots or poker, anything. Poker, a little bit more, I guess, has a little bit more skill to it. But roulette, put the thing on a damn number and let it come up. That's as lucky as you can get right there. Slots. All right, I'm going to pull this thing and hope my numbers come up. Lucky as you can get. So it's all about luck. But to think about what it could be like and what the, as you say, the change in the entire direction of the franchise, and I don't think it's just him. I hate to tell you this because you're going to say you're crazy. The more I think about Ja Morant, the more I think, why not? And I just don't know about that size. That size is what worries me just a little bit. I don't know if we – the combine's this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a combine measurement on Ja Morant. So we'll see exactly, because the comparisons are kind of getting out of control. From Dwayne Wade, Russell Westbrook, I don't know how he could be in R.J. Barrett more, R.J. Russell Westbrook than he's that lean body type compared to John Morant. John Morant's smaller.
People throw those comps out there like that sometimes. And look, we heard the same thing last year with Trae Young and Steph Curry. And while there was a lot of different opinions on Trae Young, and a lot of that has changed now, I mean, I think now that we've seen the season of Trae Young, he's what a great pick it turned out to be, but B, he's not Steph Curry. You know, Russell Westbrook is listed at 6'3", 200 pounds. He's got to weigh more than that, and especially as his career's gone on. And Ja Morant right now is listed at 6'3", 175.
But Russell Westbrook is only 6'3"?
That's what he's listed at. But there's no way Ja Morant's 6'3". Wow. He's listed 6'3", 175. I think he's closer to 6'1". But we'll know for sure after the combine.
Now, that surprises me a little bit. I thought Westbrook was 6'5", 6'6".
No, he's listed 6'3", but
he's so lean.
Yeah.
It's not like he's, like, short. Allen Iverson, Trae Young short or anything like that.
Right.
But anyway. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait. Even if it's 7-9. Are we going to be excited if it's 7-9 tomorrow? Yeah. I am. I'm going to be kind of pumped up about it. That's two players they can add in the mix, and the trust and belief that Travis Schlenk knows what he's doing and he can pick the right player. And I'm excited about it. I am. I so hope, for not only our sake as Hawks fans, but for the sake of that franchise that needs a break. And I'm sure all these other teams, Phoenix and Chicago and Cleveland, and New York probably more than any fan base could probably say, no, we need a break. And they're right. But, you know, the Hawks have never had anything like this. The Cavs had LeBron. The Knicks had Patrick Ewing. The Hawks had Dominique Wilkins. That was 25, 27 years ago. It's a long time. We need a star. We need someone that's going to be a poster on the wall of kids all over this state. You think there's Hawks posters all over the kids' walls in this state right now? Are you kidding?
No.
It's going to be him. No, they don't have Trae Young. First of all, Trae Young posters. They could have a Trae Young poster the size of Trae Young, and it wouldn't be on your wall, on your door. It'd be too small.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. But we need a poster boy.
Yeah,
we need someone that's going to be on the poster, right?
Yeah, he's it. I mean, a poster on kids' walls all over the country. You know, he is that dynamic of a player. We saw it in college how he can take over a game. The basketball IQ is through the roof. The instincts are through the roof. Obviously, at 6'7", 285, the way he moves, the athleticism's through the roof. And I'm telling you, and the other thing about it too, and there's the conspiracy theories going back to Patrick Ewing about the frozen envelopes and things like that in this draft lottery. And I have a tendency, especially when it comes to the NBA, to be a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. But representatives from the teams are going to be in the room. No cell phones are allowed in. They'll know 30 minutes ahead of time. Nobody else will. But representatives from the teams are going to be in there. Members of the media are going to be in there. This is going to be a transparent process. So when you're talking about, you know, slot machines and lotteries, and I mean, it's legit. I mean, some franchise's fortune is going to change in an instant tomorrow night because they get the number one overall pick. And when you see that the Hawks, what is it, 10.5% or 9.5%, whatever?
10.5%, yeah.
10.5%. When you see that, I mean, it's legit. He's not going to end up in New York or Chicago just because that would be better for the league. I mean, it doesn't mean that Chicago or New York can't win the lottery, obviously.
Right, right.
But because you're going to have people in the room with this process, it is completely transparent and legit. I can't wait.
I'm ready. I am. I'm excited. We may break in tomorrow night. The heck with the Braves. We may break in the Zion watch. Oh my gosh. I just got a text on the secret text line from a good friend who I think is let's see, he's several years older than I am, so he's in his 50s. Kids my ass, I'll put up a Zion poster in my bedroom. See there? You got grown men wanting posters of Zion Williamson in their bedroom.
Hey, honey.
Yeah. Guess what? Somebody's going to be watching us.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
It's fun to think about. And let's,
it really is.
Let's just have good thoughts and hope the big hawk in the sky is on our side tomorrow night. That's all we can say. We just need a little bit of luck. And hope it's not Cleveland or New York. I really don't want it to be them. I really don't. John Beilein hopes it's Cleveland.
What a hire. How about that? I love it. I don't know if it's going to work, but I love it.
You know what? It's the same premise, though, that Pete Babcock had when he signed Lon Kruger. Get a college coach in here to teach these young kids. And Cleveland has a lot of players that need to be taught.
Yes, yes, they do.
And whether they have one of the top four picks tomorrow, I mean, they need a lot of help with some of those players. And they still have, you know, they still got Kevin Love. They still got Tristan Thompson, who he's still a pretty good player when he's healthy.
And if those two in particular will buy into John Beilein's system and what he wants to do, I'm not going to sit here and say Cleveland wins a championship. I mean, in the NBA, you're gonna have to have superstars to do that. But they are going to be a much improved team, and I think this could be good overall for the league, because I always wonder, you know, there are guys. Mike Budenholzer proved it to me. They can make a difference as a head coach in the NBA, but there's not that many. What does a head coach really do? And I think this could maybe change that a little bit, to bring in a basketball guy that's a really good teacher. And again, it just comes down to whether or not these guys buy in. And if they do, I think it's going to really benefit Cleveland.
I do too. I think it's a good hire, and I applaud them for it. They were wanting to replace Larry Drew, who would replace Tyronn Lue, who didn't want the Laker job, like everybody else in the world except for Frank Vogel. And so, you know, Cavs have some talent. Knicks have nothing. I mean, truthfully, if you want to know who really needs Zion Williamson tomorrow night, it's the Knicks. They have nothing. They have Dennis Smith Jr. and Kevin Knox.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. I mean, it's funny to hear the rumors of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving going to New York after they get Zion Williamson. But you know what? Whether or not those rumors are true, for a guy that wants out of Boston and a guy that could be on his way out at Golden State, you know what? If Zion Williamson ends up with the New York Knicks, doesn't that make it more likely?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No doubt about it. No, it's an interesting dynamic. We're going to be talking about it a lot. And look, I'm kind of NBA hungry today, because I watched that game last night, the second half of Toronto and also of Philadelphia. Wow. What else can you say? And to find out that it's the first time in NBA history that a Game 7 was decided on a buzzer beater.
I would have lost money on that.
Oh, yeah. And you remember the shot, which the anniversary of that was the other day, because Craig Elo, another former Hawk, was on the First Take show. No, what's the show with Mike Greenberg?
Get Up.
He was on there. He's old now. And he still can't defend. But anyway, that was a Game 5. I would have lost money on that. That was a Game 5 situation.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not Game 7. So that's the only other time that it was a buzzer beater in the playoffs. But, wow, what a game. What a great play by Kawhi Leonard. And I don't know if he wants to stay in Toronto, but he ought to, because he's the mayor of that town today.
Yes, he
and
is.
Specifically, considering the mayors that Toronto's had, he's a winner.
That's right. They drug test in the NBA.
Yeah. Yes. That mayor's dead because he's crazy. But anyway, that was a great shot. It was a great game. Philadelphia handled the ball poorly at the end with their offense. They really did. But still, it was a phenomenal game. I didn't see the earlier game. But I'm really looking forward to Milwaukee and Toronto. I hope we'll have a good series. And who would have thought Golden State and Portland? Wow. That's two teams you never would have thought would have been in the finals, but here they are. And Terry Stotts, former Hawks coach, has that Blazers team playing well. And Damian Lillard is in there; he's doing well. I mean, it's an interesting Final Four in the NBA. I'm looking forward to watching a little bit.
Yeah, and I think Portland, I think they can make it interesting. At least as interesting. In Houston, they got knocked out in six. But all the games were competitive. I think all the point spread, the differential was within 5 points in every game.
Mm.
So, I think Portland can do that. And they had a great comeback yesterday. And for Denver, the Nikolai Jokic, the big man that they have, he just ran out of gas down the stretch. Played 42 minutes in the game. Ended up with, 29 and 13. but just couldn't make a shot down the stretch. That was a fun game to watch, too.
Yeah, horrible ball handling there, too. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. We're going to talk baseball. Braves have won 3 of 4. They're going to win the division. Look out. I'm not going to go that crazy. This is a good pork chop, but it's not laced with drugs here. I'm not going crazy on that. Anyway, we'll talk Braves baseball, and we'll talk Georgia football. Top of the hour, Jake Roos, UGASports.com. Then we'll take your phone calls. We're at Dawson's Kitchen, where they have a great menu today. Baked chicken, fried pork chops, beef tips on rice, collards, cabbage, squash casserole, mac and cheese, green beans, canned yams, dressing, gravy, rice. Oh, outstanding food here. Come get you some dinner at Dawson's Kitchen. With Russ Brown, I'm Bill Shanks. You're listening to The Bill Shanks Show. Back at Dawson's Kitchen, where the pork chops are delicious. Fried chicken, fried pork chops, baked chicken, beef tips on rice, collards, cabbage, squash, mac and cheese, green beans, canned yams, dressing, rice. They got it here at Dawson's Kitchen on Brookdale Avenue in Macon, GA. Oh, my God, the Atlanta Braves have won 3 in a row. They are back over 500. I have told you a million times that a 500 team is going to drive you to drink. One week, they'll make you think they're really good, and then the next week, they'll make you think they're going to get the first pick in next year's draft. Back and forth, up and down, and here we go. This is what this Braves team is. They did bounce back and win 3 of 4 from the Diamondbacks after losing those 4 games in the middle of that road trip, winning 3 in Miami, then losing 4 in a row, and now winning 3 against Arizona to end the road trip. We said things could change in 3 games, and they did. And now I'm not buying my playoff tickets yet, and don't you do that either, because, again, this is what we're going to see all year long. However, the one thing that changed after we were on there on Friday was the lineup change. Ronald Acuna back at the top spot, and Josh Donaldson winding his way down to the number 4 spot in the batting order. I don't like him, Russ Brown.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I don't see the studio audience doesn't like him either. I don't think it. Who likes him?
I know one person. I get.
He's Greek.
That guy.
Oh, but you mean somebody besides him?
Yes, somebody besides him. And I get text messages about every, like, clockwork about 9:30 every Saturday morning, man. It's like my own personal Josh Donaldson update I have not asked for.
Oh, great. Well, he's hitting 4th now, and he doesn't like it. And he wasn't happy about it. Did you see him when they talked to him about it on Friday night? He wasn't happy about it. I think subconsciously he's going to do poorly so they can move him back to number 2 hole. I do. I hate to say that, but he did not look happy about it, and he's a type, mainly because he went to Auburn, that'll whine about it.
Well, and there just seems to be this effort coming from somewhere to really promote him as a star player alongside Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna and Ozzy. And I don't get the sense that, you know, Braves fans hate the guy per se, but I just don't get a sense that people are, you know, buying, snatching up tickets to get the bobblehead on his bobblehead night they're all excited about.
Oh, my God. I know it. It's a little too much. A little too much. Well, look, I hope he's successful, because if he's successful, the Braves will be successful. But I think we know someone else needs that position. We'll get to that in a moment. But the lineup did do a little bit better, obviously. I love Dansby in the 2-hole. I love that. And look, I hate that Ozzy is struggling enough to where they would move him down the order. And AA sent us an email today about how Ozzy's slumping here. Last 2 weeks, .241 batting average. Last 28 games, .245 batting average. And he's hit .240 in May so far. Remember last year he kind of went down there. The last 2 months were awful. I hate that Ozzy has bounced down to the number 6 or 7 hole in the lineup and away from that number 1 hole. But you got to hit. You got to hit to be up there. And Ronald Acuna, I think coincidentally, is swinging the bat very well once again. He's a beast. And Ronald Acuna's on pace for about 32 home runs and 100 runs batted in. Wouldn't be surprised at all if he stays there in that number one spot for a while. And again, I like Dansby in that number two hole. I think he's doing a good job there, and he just seems like a natural fit. Freddie had a cold yesterday, so he was out. He'll be back, hopefully, feeling better. He was obviously hanging around Russ and Russ's son last week and got the cold. We're going to blame that on Russ as well.
Sure, why not?
And hopefully he'll be back, though, because they'll need him. And they won, and they got some decent pitching. Gausman pitched okay. Max did what he needed to do to get through five yesterday. The bullpen did okay with Tomlin. All right, bounced back after he pitched poorly last week. Then you had, I got to get on this damn Luke Jackson bandwagon, don't I?
I think, you know, Friday we were asking the question, who's the closer? I think Snit answered that for us on Friday night.
Oh.
Luke Jackson.
Oh.
Just like we predicted in March.
Luke Jackson's going to become a bad drinking game. You know that?
He's the closer right now.
He's the closer. I know it. You're right.
Notice I said right now.
Right today. Yeah, exactly. He is the closer. Oh, he still scares me, though. A two-inning thing yesterday, too. How about that? Needed him for two. And he did his job. I have to admit, he did his job. So I'm still not sure if it's going to keep up, but we'll see. But they got decent relief pitching. You know, Newcomb pitched well. That was good to see. And Winkler's doing very well. His ERA is 1.50. And there's Luke Jackson with four saves on pace for 16 for the year. And he's got 24 strikeouts and 20 innings of work. How about that? Well, good for him. And Jacob Webb continues to do very well, too. I got to mention that. But, you know, look, they bounced back. They did well. And here they are, 21-20. And they are at the one-quarter mark of the season. Here's the Shanks baseball statistical theory, otherwise known as multiplication, for what these players are on pace for. Freddie Freeman, 28 home runs, 94 RBI. Dansby, 24 home runs, 100 runs batted in. Enciarte, 8 home runs, 32 runs batted in. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Tyler Flowers, 12 home runs he's on pace for. Acuna, 32 and 100. Markakis, 16 home runs, 94 RBI. Ozzy, 28 home runs, 80 runs batted in. And Brian McCann, 12 home runs, 60 RBI. A combination of Brian McCann and Tyler Flowers are on pace for 24 home runs and 76 runs batted in, which could be a very decent combination there from your catcher spot. All right. So Austin Riley was named as the International League's hitter of the week today. And if you have to ask why, you're nuts. Austin Riley is still on a roll. You know the lottery tomorrow night for the NBA? There's going to be a lottery tomorrow night, the same room, of which inning tomorrow night Austin Riley will hit his home run. This guy is on fire, en fuego, as they said on ESPN, or used to. Riley now batting for the year 300, 14 home runs, 35 RBI, 42 hits and 140 at-bats, 10 doubles, 376 on base percentage, a 1.047 OPS, leads the International League in home runs, RBI, total bases, second in slugging percentage, third in OPS, third in hits. He's on pace, listen to this, he's on pace for, if he stays in AAA and he stays at this pace, which he won't, but still for the fun of it, on pace for 56 home runs and 140 runs batted in, 168 hits, 40 doubles, and 540 at-bats. That won't happen because he's going to be in Atlanta here very, very soon. Last 17 games, he's hit 400 with 12 home runs and 26 runs batted in, 26 hits, and 6 doubles. He is ready for the big leagues. Now, he's played left field a little bit. The last 3 out of the 4 games, he's played left field. And the question is if Donaldson's going to – oh, by the way, Donaldson, with his $23 million, is on pace for 24 home runs and $76 RBI. Is that worth $23 million? 24 home runs and 76 runs batted in for $23 million. Get your calculus thing out and tell me if that's worthwhile. I don't know if it is or not, especially with Riley doing what he's doing at AAA. Now, here's the question. Do the Braves need to put Austin Riley in left field, move Ron Acuña to center, and put Ender Inciarte on the bench? The weird thing about this is Ender Inciarte has reverse splits. This year, Ender Inciarte is better versus left-handed pitching, a .308 batting average, and against right-handed pitchers, .194. So if you said, okay, let's bring up Austin Riley, who, by the way, he has reverse splits too. He's hitting .333 versus right-handed pitchers as a right-handed batter and .211 versus left-handed pitchers. Last season, he hit .299 versus right-handed pitchers and .277 against lefties. So in his career, this year and last year, Riley's doing better against right-handed pitchers as a right-handed batter than against lefties, which is not the way it usually goes. Ender, in his career, is .277 versus left-handed pitchers and .289 versus right-handers. So even though the reverse is very drastic this year, it shows you he's done fairly well against lefty pitchers. This year, though, Ender, in his first 39 games, is hitting .218. Last year, in his first 39 games, .272. So this is a dumb question. But do you let Ender Inciarte face left-handed pitchers and Austin Riley come up and put him in left field, Acuña to center, and let him face right-handers considering the reverse splits of these two batters? You got to think about it, don't you? Because, heck, if you brought Austin Riley up and you said, well, I'm going to hit Austin against lefties, that doesn't make any sense with Ender hitting .308 against southpaws. So something's going to have to happen because this kid cannot stay in AAA. I don't know how long he's going to continue. And he was 0-for-4 yesterday. And, you know, they weren't bashing Trump. CNN would have broke in with some news about it. I don't know how long this is going to last. But let's say he hits even two more home runs and drives in six more this week and hits .280 this week. That's going to continue to kind of show the role that he's on and show that he belongs in the big leagues. And if he continues to show that he can handle left field, along with the same time Ender Inciarte hitting .218, I think we know how this is going to end.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. Because Ender is struggling so much. And I would add, too, with Acuña going back to the leadoff spot, you know, there's a need now to lengthen this lineup out a little bit more with Ozzy kind of struggling here a little bit. So, and then the other part of it too is, we're wasting our time with Austin Riley and Gwinnett right now. It's Austin Riley putting on a Gwinnett Stripers uniform is a complete and total waste of time. This guy is ready to come up to the major leagues now. I think he can make the lineup better, especially if you put him in left and you sit Ender Inciarte. I don't know what you do with Ender Inciarte. Maybe you try to trade him. I mean, does Culberson go down? I don't know what the move is, but it's, to me, if Austin Riley can play left field, he makes this lineup better today. And I don't know how you can wait on it after the tear he's been on here in the month of May.
I think Ender Inciarte is going to be traded. I really do think he's going to be traded. I don't know when. I don't know how quick it will take. And obviously, you can think of, if you're in Alex Anthopoulos' shoes, all right, if I trade Ender Inciarte tomorrow and I bring up Austin Riley, and then at the end of the year Donaldson leaves and goes away, then you have to think that who could replace Riley in left field, and I think it would be either Drew Waters or Christian Pache, because they're showing in Double A that they're ready. Drew Waters leads the Southern League in batting average, hits, total bases, doubles, and OPS. He's 20. He's hitting .336, 3 home runs, 12 RBI. Christian Pache, 4th in hits and in doubles, 5th in batting average. He's hitting .306, 3 home runs, 19 RBI. They're both 20 years old. So if you trade Ender, go with Riley and or Culberson and or Joyce and or Camargo in left field for the rest of the year, then Donaldson leaves, then Waters and Pache could be a candidate to take over in left field next year. Now, my question is, believing as I do that Madison Bumgarner could be a candidate for the Braves in August and September, do the San Francisco Giants like Ender Inciarte? Because they need an outfielder. We'll talk about that and more. We're at Dawson's Kitchen, where they have a great menu today. They are open until 7:30. Come get some baked chicken, fried pork chops, beef tips on rice, collards, cabbage, squash casserole, mac and cheese, green beans, candied yams, dressing, and rice. And the fried pork chop is an award winner. If I had a blue ribbon, if we took that thing to Mayberry, it even beat Claris Pickles. It's that good. I just had one. And I want another one, but I'm trying not to be Junior Samples here and eat everything in sight.
Junior Samples.
Wow. Hee-haw. Back with more right after this. All right, so I mentioned Junior Samples, and he plays the hee-haw thing. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah. Mr. Music.
I was watching, you know how the hee-haw infomercial comes on in the middle of the night?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the hee-haw infomercial comes on in the middle of the night, and I was up in the middle of the night because I had your cold, Russell Brown.
Sorry.
And I looked up, not everybody on that show's dead. It's kind of depressing. Even Roy Clark, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He died last year. But, like, golly. And they, you know how they said about Buck Owen? You remember Buck Owen?
Oh, yeah.
Said Buck Owen had a concert scheduled somewhere out west. And he didn't feel well. And he was going to take the night off. And he heard some people had come into the bar from, like, a long ways away just to hear Buck Owen. So he said, okay, I'll do it. He did that concert, went back to the hotel, died in his sleep. That's like a drop the mic moment right there, isn't it?
It really is.
That's like a country music song in itself.
It kind of is. It's kind of like us. One day when we're, you know, 112,
exactly.
We'll finish up the show, go home, and die in our sleep.
That's right. Yeah, as long as it's after the Braves game.
There you go. Hopefully they'll be on the at home and not on the West Coast.
Yes. Max Fried III will be pitching. Anyway. All right. So I mentioned that about Bumgarner. I do believe Bumgarner is going to be a target for the Braves. Heck, they got to spend their money on something, don't they? Bumgarner so far this year, 2-4, 3.88 ERA, 9 starts, 57 hits allowed, and 55 and two-thirds innings pitched. 8 walks, 58 strikeouts. Numbers are pretty good. They also have a lot of bullpen pieces the Braves could want, like Will Smith. Remember Will Smith? He's the guy that's from Noonan, Georgia, who got into it with Freddie Gonzalez a couple of years ago because Freddie complained that he had, what, something on his glove, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was like he was using, like, sunscreen or something to a foreign substance on the glove.
Yes, and he let Freddie have it when he was walking off the mound. It was hilarious. Freddie would have had any cojones. He would have gone out there and whipped his tail. But anyway, another story. Will Smith is their closer in San Francisco. 2.87 ERA, 10 saves. Imagine that, Russ. Someone having 10 saves by May 13th.
That's crazy talk. You can't do that.
Exactly.
Didn't somebody tell them you can't spend money on the bullpen?
He may be a closer, Russ. I mean, my God. 4 walks, 17 strikeouts. He's a lefty. He would be really good if Craig Kimbrell was out there in that bullpen too, wouldn't he?
Oh, man. Yeah,
imagine that.
Now, that's when it starts to get really good because then you start backing everybody up.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, Josh Tomlin is that 5th and 6th inning guy. Luke Jackson is that 7th inning guy. And then boom, boom. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. And I mentioned before the break about Ender Inciarte. Russ, they need an outfielder. They just DFA'd Gerardo Parra, the former Rocky and Diamondback player who hit 198 for them. They brought up young Mac Williamson. He's hitting 143. You know, they had Melky, and he's gone now. Remember that? I mean, they had him out there in the outfield for a while. They traded for Kevin Pillar earlier this year, like last month, and he's hitting 232 so far, playing great defense, but doing what he does, which is not hit. Steven Dugar hitting 265. They need an outfielder. And guess what? They're not getting Drew Waters. For a rental of Will Smith and Madison Bumgarner, that ain't happening. But entering Ciarte, you can't tell me that would not be a good swap for the Giants. I mean, they're going to want a pitcher. They're going to want a Tukey. Well, they're going to want – no, they're going to want Max and Soroka. And then when they're backed off that, you know, what about entering Ciarte, Tukey Toussaint, and a couple of others, smaller type players or prospects? I think that's doable, and that would open the door for Austin Riley. But are they going to wait until July 31st? Are they going to wait two more months for this, Russ? Can they afford to wait that long, even for a number one starter and a guy who could either be a closer or a solid, an outstanding setup guy, especially if Craig Kimbrell is signed in 3 weeks, which could still happen?
I think if they could swing it for Ender and Tukey right now, I think you have to do that deal because – and I know what some people may say that, well, we'll slow down, guys. Madison Bumgarner is not the same pitcher he was 3 or 4 years ago. And that is true. Madison Bumgarner is still one of the best pitchers in this rotation if you add him to the mix. I mean, you've got Soroka. You've got Fried. What do you really have after that? Madison Bumgarner is the answer to your question. And then also, I mean, Austin Riley needs to be in the major leagues yesterday. So that really clears out a spot for him. And also, with the shortened bench, you still have your utility guys in Camargo and Culberson that can play all over the diamond. One of the things that, you know, and I'm not saying don't call Austin Riley up, but if you were to do that and you kept Ender Inciarte in the mix, then you got to let Culberson go. And you know Ender Inciarte is going to be a defensive upgrade late in ball games. So, not that you can't do that. Obviously you can, but you really shorten up your bench. Whereas if you're able to get something for him, you improve your team. You create a spot for Austin Riley. I say let's do this trade now, like right now. Sign Craig Kimbrell and let the rest is history, right? Then what happened last week in Los Angeles, I think you in that I don't know if that's enough. I'm not going to sit here and say that's enough to catch the Dodgers because I think we saw how wide that gap is, but it would certainly close the gap. And it just overall a deal like that would make this team better. At the snap of a finger.
If you had a playoff rotation and you knew Madison Bumgarner was going in there in your playoff rotation against the Dodgers or Cubs, you're going to feel a lot better about your chances compared to Julio Teheran and Kevin Gausman.
I mean, that's basically what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
With Mad Bum for me.
Yeah. I mean, and I know Mad Bum is not what he used to be, but his numbers I just read off to you are still pretty good.
Well, compare that to what Julio's done, what Gausman's done, what Folty's done so far this year. I mean, that's just kind of where we're at. No, you're not trading for, and I'm throwing up the air quotes here, Madison Bumgarner, World Series MVP. I don't think anybody is saying that. But what you are trading for is a guy that is instantly, A, going to give you a veteran presence in your rotation, and B, be one of your best three starters.
And what is he going to be on this team? Yeah. What is he going to be with this defense? What is he going to be with the analytics in this organization? His strikeout to walk ratio is excellent. His strikeout to inning pitch ratio is excellent. His hits to innings pitch ratio is fairly good. He's given up 8 home runs in 9 games, a little high, but for the most part, he's only 29. And this guy's from North Carolina. He just gave the Giants a list of 8 teams that he could not be traded to this weekend, and that was so he could pick who he wants to pick to be traded to. And they've already said that, like, if it's between the Phillies and the Braves, the kid from North Carolina ain't going to Philly. So that just tells you about – and you know what? All the angst about how bad he's been since a couple of years ago, and I know he's had some health issues. His ERA this year, 3.88, last year, 3.26, this year, 3.32. It's not like he's gone crazy right. On anybody.
Well, I think that's what it is for the people that are leery of that. They're comparing Madison Bumgarner to himself. And again, that's not the pitcher the Braves would be trading for. But what they are trading for is a solid starter, a veteran starter, a guy that you're not going to have to baby with innings limits and pitch counts, and a guy that can go out there and post an ERA under 4. Right now, there are 2 guys in the Atlanta rotation that can do that, Mike Soroka and Max Fried. This would make it a third because for whatever reason for Teheran. And Teheran's pitched well at times this year.
Yes.
But, I mean, his ERA is hanging around 5. Same thing with Gausman. And then Folty, to me, I just don't even know how you factor in Foltynewicz because, I don't want this to be the case, but I think Folty's hurt. I don't think he's going to be around at the end
of the year. Well, again, playoff starts tomorrow. Who's your rotation? We know two of those members. The third member, we're going to have to struggle for it. Not if you go after Madison Bumgarner. And look, they may in 6 weeks, they may be too far out to where I don't want them to go after Madison Bumgarner for anything. But I do want them to get rid of Ender because I want Austin Riley up there. And Ender, look, here's the thing. Like it or not, Ender and Ciarte is not in the long-term plans for this team. They got Ronald Acuna, 21 years old. They've got two guys in AA who are 20 years old who are tearing up the Southern League, who are potential all-star players. Nick Marquez, I'm sorry, Ender, love you, but if it's between Nick and you, Nick's staying another year.
Yeah.
And Nick, look, if Nick stays through next year, Russ, here's the thing about this. Let's say for some reason that Pache and Waters both show they're ready to start next year. Nick Markakis is still going to be there because he's going to get playing time. You know why? He's going to be making $5 million. And those other two guys are going to be making $1.2 million between them. So that's a no-brainer. And it's not like Acuna's making a fortune either out there in center field, whereas your most expensive player, even though he's not very expensive, is Ender Inciarte. He gone. Ender Inciarte is not going to be here for the long term. And that may mean June 1st. Because if you're Alex Anthopoulos, how are you not at least looking in to trading him? And you're right, the lengthening of lineup is something. Because now with Acuna back at one, let's say you had Acuna, Dansby, Freddie, Donaldson, Markakis, Riley sixth, which won't be a lot of pressure on him for the very beginning of his career to hit home runs. He's sixth, catcher seventh, and who? Well, where the hell is Ozzie going to hit? Ozzie's still got to be in there, right? So you got Ozzie seven, catcher eight. That's a really good lineup all of a sudden.
It looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, because right now Ender's hitting 218, and he doesn't make it look good at all. He really doesn't. We're at Dawson's Kitchen, Brookdale Avenue here in Macon. They've got baked chicken, fried pork chops, beef tips on rice, collards, cabbage, squash casserole, mac and cheese, green beans, Kenny yams, dressing and rice. Great food until 7:30 tonight. Come get something here on Brookdale Avenue in Macon. You are listening to The Bill Shanks Show.